Hey, outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising. So let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. The comfortable vent back shirt is offered in 10 great colors and performs like no other. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
2011 Z521 Ranger boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury motor. Falcon rods, Lowrance Electronics, and Lake Fork Trophy lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's heathhardwick.com.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra-comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today. Texas, Bridle on a Bull, the name of that Chris Knight tune, kicking things off for us on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Cable Smith, thrilled to be here with you. Spring is in the air, y'all, and that means freezers should be filling up with crappie and sand bass fillets. And next weekend, this is what I'm going to be doing. That's right, I'll be making that sweet Night Hail Wet Willy box call, seeing y'all. In hopes of luring a big old Tom within range of my Remington Versamax. And then, boom! Baby, I can't wait! Oh, man, turkey season gets me a little silly, y'all. My blood flowing, adrenaline pumping. Let's get a little more practice in here real quick. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you this morning. Off the top, we'll check in with Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader Jason Harden. And then we'll visit with Wally Marshall, also known as Mr. Crappie. And the spring spawn is on, baby. I tell you what, my old man and I went out to the lake yesterday, and we put a pretty good hurting on those crappie. Man, nothing like a little father-son time on the water or in the woods, I tell you what. But anyway, after Wally stops by, we'll get into legalizing poison as a means of controlling our state's feral hog population, and we'll do that. And we'll do so with Texas Wildlife Service's Mike Bodenchuk, as they are attempting to develop a feeder and poison combo that would only be lethal to feral hogs. So all that coming up. See, a couple orders of business here. Y'all be sure to keep sending me your best outdoor photos to CableWaco@yahoo.com. Our March photo contest is sponsored by Tritronics. The winner will receive a brand spanking new Sport Dog Basic valued at $300. It's the same one that my 8-month-old Belle has. It's a great collar, y'all. And if you don't have a hunting dog, swap it out with a buddy. Get him to trade you a nice fishing rod. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's a great prize. Also, in May, just a little tease here, we'll be giving away a Buckeye trail cam, brand new, valued at $700. So some great prizes coming up with our Photo of the Month contest. Let's see here. Also, I wanted to remind y'all that every show is now available on iTunes as a free download. So if you ever miss anything and you can't get on the website to listen to the podcast, well, they're now available for you to upload to your iPod, iPhone, and they're like an iPad now too. Anyway, they're all there and they're free on iTunes. So you can take them with you in the truck, on the road, wherever you go, if you want to do so. One other thing here real quick. Old Maverick and I will be out at Dodge City McKinney directly following this morning's broadcast from 10 until noon. I can guarantee you I'm going to test drive the all-new Ram Outdoorsman pickup. My gosh, that's a sweet-looking ride. But anyway, Mav and I will be out there. Come test drive one yourself. We'll be there from 10 to noon giving away some Game Guard koozies, and we'll even give away a fishing trip with our own Lake Fork guide, Heath Hardwick. So stop by Dodge City McKinney from 10 to noon. Old Mav and I would love to hear some of your hunting stories, so come on out and say hi. Well, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll dive headfirst into spring turkey talk with Texas Parks and Wildlife turkey program leader Jason Harden. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Still hear the soft southern winds in the live oak trees. And those Williams boys, they still mean a lot.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Dallas, Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall. Or visit us at BigTexTrailerWorld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 972-501-0200 or 817-654-9220 today.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
Come experience the Beef Jerky Outlet by the Bass Pro Shop in Garland. Supporting hunters and outdoorsmen's rights alike, this is the place to pick up your PETA t-shirt. People eating tasty animals, that is. Come check out our great variety of jerkies. We also carry gourmet peanut butter, salsas, deep-fried peanuts, hot sauces, and even Wisconsin cheeses. Visit our website at dallasjerky.com and let the outdoorsman in you experience the Beef Jerky Outlet, located by Bass Pro Shop in Garland.
Come on out March 25th through the 27th to Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. It's the North Texas chapter of Safari Club International's Outdoor Expo. Guides and outfitters from around the world will have booths set up, and admission is free. Bid on the hunt of a lifetime at Saturday evening's banquet featuring live and silent auctions, gun raffles, and so much more. It's the SCI North Texas chapter Outdoor Expo March 25th through the 27th at Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. Admission to the expo is free, and you can get your tickets to Saturday night's banquet at scinorthtexas.com.
Hi, I'm Fred Eichler, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
$50 and a flask of Crown. I grab my Stetson and I pull it down. I rope the devil, ride him into town. $50 and a flask of Crown.
That's the great Blue Edmondson bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm Cable Smith. Thrilled to be here with you, by the way, on this lovely Texas morn. Man, what a great time of the year to be an outdoorsman or woman in the greatest state in the union. The crappie are running, and this time next week, I, along with many of y'all, will be somewhere out in the woods trying to call in a big old tom. Spring turkey is almost here, and if you're in the South Zone, it's already here, and we're about to talk turkey. But first, I want to remind y'all to check out Capsule Game Feeders, the most innovative feeder on the market. It keeps hog snouts out and lets deer feed. Visit TexasHuntingCompany.com or call 214-803-7539. That's TexasHuntingCompany.com. Well, without further ado, what do y'all say we talk a little spring turkey here? You know, for me, few things top getting out in the woods and making that box call sing just right in hopes of drawing that big tom within bow or shotgun range. Whew, gets my blood flowing just thinking about it. Now, nobody knows more about our state's longbeards than Texas Parks and Wildlife turkey program leader Jason Harden, and so it is my pleasure to welcome Jason back to the show.
Thanks, Cable. Good to be back.
You bet, man. So I assume you've been pretty busy lately. It's that time of the year for you.
Oh, quite a bit. Just running around the state looking at turkeys and trying to figure out what we need to do to keep them rolling.
Right on. Jason, let's start with the eastern turkey this morning. What a success story. By about 1900, this bird was pretty much extinct from the Texas landscape altogether. But through Texas Parks and Wildlife's hard work and dedication, there's a huntable population in the Piney Woods region up through northeast Texas. So how is the eastern population looking for the 2011 turkey season?
For the 2011 season, where we typically find turkeys, up around the Red River counties, Bannon, Lamar, Red River, those birds are doing really well. And then down in the southeastern counties, such as Nacogdoches, Newton, Jasper, those birds are doing really well. Our problem are kind of in between those two areas where the birds haven't done quite as well. But if those are the areas you hunt, you expect to see quite a few birds. I think we had pretty good production last year, had a nice dry May, which is usually ties in with good production.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did pretty good just on some anecdotal data, you know, based on information we're getting from hunters and from trail cameras. We saw a lot of jakes out in the woods this fall. So expect to see some young birds out there and hopefully some good mature gobblers as well.
Well, Jason, that's great news, but unfortunately there is some bad news too. And I heard that you guys might have to close 15 counties in the eastern part of the state next season.
Yeah, we're planning on closing 15 counties in East Texas. And these are counties that have reported either no harvest or very little harvest over the years. Based on information we're getting from landowners, from hunters, and from our biologists, we just feel like it's about time to close those counties and kind of go back in and do a reassessment. And where the opportunity presents itself, where we're able to work with landowners and tie enough property together into landowner cooperatives and get the habitat right with prescribed burning, timber thinning, restoring native grasses, whatever that might be, whatever the limiting factor is, we're going to try to go back in those areas and restock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on stocking for years now. Since 1979, we've stocked about 7,300 birds in East Texas. And our new approach is more focused. We're going to find the best site in our county. We're going to have at least 10,000 acres in that site of good turkey habitat. And instead of putting 15 birds in that site, we're going to put 80. And we're really going to try to get past those first couple of years when mortality is high and production is low.
Hmm.
And that seems to be what kind of was the worst part of the old block stocking, where we put 15 birds out, three gobblers and 12 hens. Took a couple of years before production really started to kick off. And if you lost your three gobblers in that period of time, you were out of luck.
Yeah.
So putting 20 gobblers instead of three and 60 hens will help us get past those early mortality factors. The research looks good. We're pretty happy with it. So if we can just find the good sites to put the birds on, that's what we're going to look forward to doing in those 15 counties.
Well, it's sad that you have to close the counties, but at least you guys have a, you know, what sounds like a solid game plan to go in there and kind of reinvigorate those populations. But overall, the eastern turkey is still doing very well in the northeast and southeastern parts of the state.
Yeah, we're doing really well. We're really happy with those numbers. Just got to keep up with providing them good nesting cover, good places for those baby chicks to go out and brood, and keeping fire on the landscape in a safe and effective manner to keep those forests open, keep the cedar out, keep the yaupon out. The main defense for those birds is their eyesight. If they can't see through the woods, they're not going to use it or they're going to get gobbled up. So
mm-hmm.
We want to make sure we're providing good habitat for those birds.
Very well. Well, let's shift gears here and talk about the eastern turkey's more popular, at least in Texas anyway, cousin, the Rio Grande turkey. Now, last time we talked, you guys were undertaking a big project where you were putting radio collars on these Rios in order to track them How's that project going?
For some of the Rio Grande turkeys, we've actually put some GPS backpacks on the birds.
Okay.
And these things cost about $1,700 a pop, which is pretty expensive, but the amount of data that we get from those really justifies the cost on those.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we'd put in the past, we would have put a $150 radio backpack on these birds and sent a student out there twice a week to monitor them when they started nesting, probably almost every day to monitor those birds. With this GPS backpacks, we actually don't need a student out there as much. We don't travel as much. Instead of getting 1 or 2 points a day, we're getting 30 points a day.
Mm.
So we're getting a lot more information. We're collecting information on that bird's time rather than on a student or a researcher's time.
Well, Jason, last spring was supposed to be one of the better Rio hatches in recent memory. So that begs the question that's on every Rio hunter's mind. How is that population of birds looking for this spring season?
Well, we're going to have a lot of juvenile birds across the state. And had great production last spring and summer. Some folks were saying they saw more poults on the landscape in the Rio Grande Range than they'd ever seen in their life. So we had good production, and we needed it because it had been about 3 or 4 years across the range in general where we just didn't have very good production. So it was really due. But lots of birds out there, lots of juveniles, though. So for those folks who are looking for a mature tom, you're going to see a lot of jakes out there. You're going to hear a lot of gobbling. But the mature toms are not quite as prevalent. But in those areas that are lightly hunted, that haven't had a lot of hunting pressure over the last couple of years, still expect to see quite a few mature toms.
Mm-hmm.
One of our study sites in South Texas, they laid off hunting last year, and during some trapping this past month, we saw just large numbers of gobblers out there. So they're still available if the sites haven't been hunted too hard.
All right. And Jason, here's an actual hunting question for you, because I know that you're an avid turkey hunter. Say you're waiting on a big tom and a bunch of jakes show up. Are you going to run them off and hope the tom comes in, or are you going to pick up and move in search of a tom?
Well, you know, it's to each their own. I'm not the end-all, be-all of turkey hunters. I do love to turkey hunt. Personally, I would enjoy the show while it lasted and hope that the birds would move on their own. But I'd leave that up to the individual hunter to decide on what their technique would be to try to get a big mature tom in front of them.
Well, you should give yourself a little more credit than that. What's the first thing you should look for when searching for possible turkeys on a piece of land, either public or private, assuming that, you know, you've never hunted that property before?
If I've never hunted that property before, I may look at go out and get an aerial photo. And I'd look for a riparian area, either a creek or a river that's going to be near that area, mm-hmm. some kind of tributary. And once I found that on the aerial photo, I'd go out to that property, find that area, and look for the biggest concentration of mature oaks or cottonwoods, depending on where you're at. The biggest and most trees that you can find in one area. That's typically going to be what you'd expect to see for a roosting site. And then I'd go in there and I'd see if I could find some sign, feathers or droppings. And that would give you a good idea if the birds are in there. And and then just start looking for patterns for those birds. But my first deal would be to go out and do some reconnaissance, get some aerial photography, and look for sites that have riparian areas. Because those birds are really going to be stuck to those, especially in the Rio Grande Range.
Okay, lots of great information there. You know, we had the remarkable hatch in 2010. How are things looking for the upcoming nesting season?
You know, it's not as positive as it was last year. Last year, we started getting rains in the midwinter. They lasted all the way through spring and into early summer before it started to dry up. And we're just not getting that this year, especially across the Rio Range. It's pretty dry. There's not a lot of soil moisture out there. So we need rain quick if we're going to pull off a decent hatch this year.
Hmm.
Fortunately, with all the residual cover that we had from last year, those properties that are well managed that do get rainfall will be able to take advantage of that rainfall quickly. Nesting habitat will already be available, and that should trigger some nesting behavior and some breeding activity for those birds. So it's not too late, but it's not as good as it was last year.
We just got to keep our fingers crossed for some rain. Real quick, are you going to be out there opening morning?
I'm hoping to be. I'm hoping to be out there on April 1st, but I have a site visit with a landowner, so I'll be out there on April 2nd. So you might see me up around Caddo or one of the other wildlife management areas.
I figured you would be. Jason, always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thanks, Cable.
There he goes, Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader Jason Harden. And say what you want about Texas Parks and Wildlife. Maybe you don't like antler restrictions. Maybe you don't like a lot of stuff they do. But tell you what, they've done a great job with our state's turkey population. Well, we do have to take a quick break, but y'all know it's that time of the year. Temperatures are rising and the crappie are spawning. Coming up next, it's Mr. Crappie himself, Wally Marshall, only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
It's a shame we ain't lovers. It could have been something so big and grand. Just kissing for hours underneath that sweet magnolia.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and six different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters. Located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at, this one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at cinnamoncreekranch.com. That's cinnamoncreekranch.com.
You fish, you hunt, you camp. In short, you live life to the fullest. And now there is a rugged pickup designed specifically for you. Introducing the new Ram Outdoorsman at Dodge City McKinney. With all-terrain tires, mossy oak camo interior, the Outdoorsman comes in Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500 models. This is the truck for the Texas Outdoorsman. It will tow anything and everything. Available now at Dodge City McKinney. Exit Virginia Parkway off 75 McKinney and let the calling within you experience the Ram Outdoorsman.
Come on out March 25th through the 27th to Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. It's the North Texas chapter of Safari Club International's Outdoor Expo. Guides and outfitters from around the world will have booths set up, and admission is free. Bid on the hunt of a lifetime at Saturday evening's banquet featuring live and silent auctions, gun raffles, and so much more. It's the SCI North Texas chapter Outdoor Expo March 25th through the 27th at Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. Admission to the expo is free, and you can get your tickets to Saturday night's banquet at SCINorthTexas.com. SCI, first for hunters.
Well, here I sit a high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me. High from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
All right, y'all. Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. That's Fort Worth's own, the great Roger Miller, bringing us back from break. Real quick, I want to remind y'all that the Lone Star Ag Credit Back the Brand Shoot for the Stars Skeet Shoot is taking place April 29th at the Dallas Gun Club. Teams from all over the state are welcome to participate. Once again, this skeet shoot is benefiting the State Fair of Texas Youth Livestock Auction and Scholarship Program, and that's taking place April 29th. For more information, call Lydia Lasky at 214-668-9961. That's 214-668-9961. Well, shifting gears here, what do y'all say we talk some crappie fishing? And here to visit with us this morning is the legendary Mr. Crappie himself, Wally Marshall.
Man, I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm certainly thrilled to have you, Wally. And man, it's a great time of the year, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, spring's almost my favorite time, you know, because you've been cooped up all winter, and, you know, the water's warming up now, and the fish are starting to move, and it's just a great time of year because all kids from all ages, from 8 to 80, can catch them, and it makes a lot of fun for the family entertainment.
Yes, sir. And, Wally, how many days a week are you spending on the water right now?
Well, this time of year, I'm out on the water 2 to 3 days a week, and I really like the springtime, and I like to fill that freezer up with them big crappie fillets.
Right on. Wally, before we dive into spring crappie talk, you've got a couple of pretty cool things going on right now, including a new partnership with Lou's. So tell us about that.
The Lou's Company has been a great name since 1949 with Lou Childrey. And a buddy of mine, Lynn Reeves, purchased the company this past year, and has really brought Lou's back to the forefront. And actually, Lynn Reeves is the guy that introduced me to Bass Pro Shops many years ago. Mm-hmm. So I've had the opportunity to team up with him and design my own rods and all my own products, and just like at Bass Pro, and move on down the road. And we're going to bring some great products to the market in 2011 and 12.
Excellent. So lots of great stuff going on there with a traditionally.
Yeah, we're gonna do rods, reels, fishing line in the first year.
Wow, cool! Kicking it off with a bang. I like that.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm so excited right now. I've been inundated with phone calls from people all over the United States wanting to know when the new generation of Wally Marshall rods and reels are coming out. And I'm telling everybody around June, maybe July, you know, this year, we will have something to market.
Very exciting stuff there. Also, you've got your tournament coming up here this summer. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about that as well.
Right. I have every year I put on the Big Crappie Classic out at Lake Levan, and there hasn't been a date set yet, but yes, we are going to have that tournament. And what we do is, you know, families come and fish the tournament, and they bring their kids or they bring the neighbor's kids and come on out, and I pay a hourly payout every hour on the hour for the kids division and adults, and we have a lot of fun. I feed everybody, we have a great time, and this will be our 10th year at Lake Levan.
Awesome, and always a great time on Lake Levan. Be sure to keep us posted when you do get that date locked down. Now, Wally, what was it about crappie that first made you fall in love with pursuing this fish?
Well, I'll tell you what, back in the early years, and actually when I was pretty young, fished with my grandparents and my parents, of course, but we always targeted crappie or bluegill, mostly crappie, and that was to eat, you know, to put it on the table. And when I was a little kid, well, they just cooked the crappie whole. You know, they spooned them and cooked them whole. And I like the crispy tails. Mm-hmm. So I would eat the tail off of the fish. And I wouldn't mess with the meat too much until my later years. And then when I got into high school, I targeted crappie and had all the football coaches fishing with me. And it turned out to be a great opportunity. It was unbelievable the amount of fish that you can catch. And, of course, when you feed people crappie, it's kind of like sharing religion.
Yes, sir. I think they're probably the best-tasting freshwater fish there is, no doubt.
Right. I won my first tournament on Cedar Creek Lake in 1987. And me and my partners have fished all these years. I've fished now with Jeff Hyman. He's out of Pilot Point, Texas, and we fished tournaments together. And we won the Classic in 2003 in crappie tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year, we won the Truman State Championship in a one-pole division using one rod. You know, that's pretty cool when you can go out there just one rod and beat everybody. So it was kind of, when you go in somebody else's backyard and you beat them, it's kind of an honor there.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Well, let's talk about what patterns of crappie are in right now. They're obviously moving up into the shallows, and things should be pretty good here for the next, probably say, 6 weeks or so?
I'm going to say the next 6 weeks. It's on like Donkey Kong right now. The crappie have moved into the shallow water. I was just up at Ray Roberts yesterday catching crappie in 2 to 3 foot of water. What has happened? We hadn't had much rain,
mm-hmm.
and so a lot of our lakes are clear. It's not really stained or murky, and those fish are kind of staying off the banks a little bit. I know that in some areas they'll get right against the bank if there's enough structure there to hold them there, but around standing timber in 2 to 3 foot of water, the other day at Ray Roberts, we just killed them.
Right on. What's one of the first things you look to as an indicator as to when the spawn's beginning? You know, and it doesn't have to be, you don't even have to be on the water. I mean, it could be...
You know, the first indicator is a robin or a redbird singing. I listen to the redbirds, and I listen, you know, when I first see a robin, that tells me that, hey, spring is here, and if you wait for the dogwoods to bloom, well, you're going to be a little bit too late. But most of the time, right after the Super Bowl, you know, in our part of the country, you can start looking for crappie to make moves. And the main key is 60-degree nights.
Mm.
And, you know, when you start having warm temperatures at night,
mm-hmm.
that's when those crappie will move in and start to spawn.
Okay, cool. So Redbirds, Robins, and the Super Bowl, all stuff that I wouldn't have thought, but good indicators. Very nice.
A lot of times when people are watching the Super Bowl, you can be out catching crappie at this time, you know, that time of year.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what would you say, you know, as far as the actual water temperatures go?
The water temperatures need to be in the 60s. Mm-hmm. You will start seeing crappie show up around 59 degrees. And we're talking surface temperature now, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll start looking in the shallows early spring for visual structure. Like if I pull in the back of a cove, I'm going to look at the visual structure to see if there's cattails, weed beds, lay downs, logs, any kind of structure around there. I'll start fishing that first. Mm-hmm. And then if they're not around that structure, I will start looking at submerged structure on my I've got the Hummingbird 1197 side imaging.
Right.
So I can pull into a cove and find every brush pile in there in about 30 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat technology, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about that, my friend. We've covered what to look for as far as indicators as to when the spawn will start. Also, where to look for the fish once the spawn has started. So let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and have a nice long segment, and we'll let Wally tell us how to catch them once you find them. That's right. We'll get Mr. Crappie's favorite baits and techniques, which hopefully will help us all catch a boatload of crappie this weekend. All that coming up next, only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
You fish, you hunt, you camp. In short, you live life to the fullest. And now there is a rugged pickup designed specifically for you. Introducing the new Ram Outdoorsman at Dodge City McKinney. With all-terrain tires, Mossy Oak camo interior, the Outdoorsman comes in Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500 models. This is the truck for the Texas Outdoorsman. It will tow anything and everything. Available now at Dodge City McKinney. Exit Virginia Parkway off 75 McKinney, and let the calling within you experience the Ram Outdoorsman.
Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Dallas, Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us at BigTexTrailerWorld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 972-501-0200 or 817-654-9220 today.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Located in the Wild Horse Desert of the South Texas Brush Country, Hebronville Deer Hunting has a reputation for putting hunters on big deer, and with a 98% harvest rate, last season was no exception. With supplemental feed and strict management for the past 20 years, mid-150 class bucks are the average trophy. The 35,000-acre ranch has been in the family since 1890, and the owner still runs the outfitting today. Visit HebronvilleDeerHunting.com. Hebronville Deer Hunting, it's a way of life.
Hey, this is Jared Allen of the Minnesota Vikings, and you're listening to Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Barely alive.
Look out, Junior's in the yard. Loading his gun, he never thought it'd be this hard.
My favorite coup de grace songs bringing us back here. Junior's in the Yard's the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming y'all back to this morning's presentation. And we've still got a fishing legend on the line. There's nobody better to talk spring crappie with than Wally Marshall. Now, Wally, everybody knows that when the spawn hits, the crappie are in shallow water areas such as, you know, near the bank. And obviously, creek channels is a hot place to catch them right now. But what are these fish specifically looking for as far as the type of bottom where they're going to feel comfortable laying their eggs?
It needs to be on a hard, firm bottom. You know, you're not going to find these crappie on silty-type bottoms, especially when you're wade fishing. You can actually tell, because if you sink down into the mud, the crappie are not going to be in those type of areas. If you start feeling a hard bottom, that's where the crappies like to spawn. But you have to go again now on clarity. Like I said, we hadn't had much rain. It needs to rain and kind of stain that water up a little bit, and those crappie will even move shallower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I've actually caught them in 6 inches of water before. You know, it's just unbelievable how shallow these crappie really can get if the water is stained enough for them to get shallow.
Okay. Very well. Let's talk about some of your, you know, your favorite baits. I know that Roadrunners are some of your tried and true ones in the early
spring. I've been with Blakemore Lure Company for 25 years. The only lure company that I've ever fished for, and I've designed lures for that company. I designed the Pro Series Roadrunner heads with the gold willow leaf blades. I designed the Crappie Thunder bait. That's the plastic that goes on the Roadrunner heads. And also, the newest bait there at Blakemore is the Slab Daddy. And I use the Crappie Thunders, especially in the springtime, around structure. On into the summertime, my favorite colors are white and chartreuse, lime and chartreuse, and the old deadly blue and white. This past Sunday, we were catching the crappie at Ray Roberts on blue and white. And they were just nailing it. And that water's a little bit stained, but it's real clear around the shoreline, you know. So that white tail on it, I think, really helped on that bait.
And most of these baits, like your Crappie Thunders, are going to be for vertical jigging, correct?
Well, yes. Well, the Crappie Thunders, you can pitch it. It's a good pitch bait if you want to pitch to an area and pull it back. But I like to vertical fish it, especially this time of year, around any of that kind of structure, cattails, laydowns, logs, briar patches, whatever's out in the water of any kind of structure like that, what crappie like to get around. And the reason I use the Crappie Thunders is because the Slab Daddy is a hair jig, and it gets dirty, you know what I'm saying? And
yep.
So when I use the Slab Daddy lures, I like to use them around docks and bridges.
Okay.
And early in the year, when people are fishing their, when they're fishing their boat docks and stuff like that, the Slab Daddies is an excellent bait for people that fish off of piers, crappie houses, etc.
Right on. Once again, we are visiting with Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. And Wally, one question I have for you is, what is the fundamental difference between being a good bass fisherman and a good crappie angler?
Well, I'm saying that a lot of bass fishermen in the past, you know, they just go down the bank line casting a lure. You know, a crappie fisherman has to pinpoint the fish, because several hundred crappie can be in one area. And so you can actually, a crappie fisherman probably knows his electronics a lot better than some of the bass fishermen, because bass fishermen, sometimes they just need to know how deep the water is, you know, and going down a bank line looking for visual structure to throw out, et cetera. But now technology with the side imaging, with the Hummingbird side imaging units, bass fishermen have come more persistent in their catches, because they're seeing stuff that they never seen before. Just like the crappie anglers, but I believe if you're going to be a successful crappie angler, you have to learn your electronics. And that gives you the edge, because stuff that you can't see, a lot of other people cannot see, because they don't know how to read their units. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the technology's out there to make you a better angler, with the side images and down imaging of the Hummingbird units they have today.
Right. You know, something that well, we've had Bill Dance on the show before, and one thing that he was telling, you know, preaching about was repeated casts for bass. It's proven to be effective, and especially in murky water. But for crappie, it's a different ballgame because, I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you don't get a hit there in, you know, a couple minutes or, you know, 30 seconds, you're ready to move on to the next stump, right?
Well, it depends on the water temperature and how the crappie are wanting the bait. A lot of times they like it moving or like moving away from the structure. Sometimes you can put it down there and shake it a couple of times, let it be still, then they'll hit it. But sometimes they like it moving away from the structure. It's all about the presentation of the bait around the structure. Certain times a year, they like it different ways. Sometimes they just like it dead still, and sometimes they like a little movement on it. And a lot of times they like it when you pull it away from the structure, then that's when they'll hit it. Mm-hmm. But yes, if I don't get a bite and I'm going to say 2 minutes on a piece of structure, I'm gone. After I done hit it from every angle, I'm going on to a different location.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wally, you know, trial and error is part of fishing, no matter what species you're after. But the problem is sometimes that can take hours. And for some guys that only get a chance to fish maybe for 3 hours in an afternoon, one day a week, what piece of advice would you give to them so that they can cut down on that trial and error time and actually spend more time putting fish in the boat?
I would say get you a depth finder that has GPS coordinates on, you know, with GPS, mm-hmm. with the maps on it that shows the contours. So if you know where here that brush piles are at 15 feet or at 20 feet, you can stay along those contour lines and start finding a lot of brush piles at those depths. And having that GPS allows you to go back to that spot time after time after time. And what it does, it cuts down your time on the water looking for structure. Okay. A lot of times, I'd like to give a tip right here. A lot of times what I do is I'll go to a lake and I won't even take a fishing pole. And I will just go out there and look for submerged structure with my unit and locate that structure and see the fish on it and mark it and then go back to it at another date. Because if you don't have a fishing pole, you won't be tempted to fish. You know what I'm saying? You'll be tempted to find more structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe how much structure is underneath the water.
Well, it's just like anything else that you want to be serious about, whether that's scouting for ducks or looking for a scrape. I mean, putting that time in before the hunt or tournament or whatever is the key to success.
Right.
Well, Wally, shifting gears here, you know you've won countless tournaments, but have you ever thought about getting involved with the Crappie Anglers of Texas tournament trail?
Well, I've actually spoke at some of their events. I've been asked to join to be a member of that club. Maybe one of these days I may do that. I'm looking at doing some other adventures with my life now that I'm still, hey everybody, I'm still with Bass Pro Shops. I'm on the Nitro team. I'm still hooked up, a big player at Bass Pro Shop. They still sell all the Mr. Crappie products and everything. So if you're looking for my products, Bass Pro Shop has them. They don't have the rods and reels, but I'm looking at doing a couple of different deals here in the future, and it's going to be exciting. And so right now I'm focusing on not necessarily tournaments, but I'm focusing on bringing great products to today's crappie angler.
Right on. And that's why we're so excited about that new deal with Lou's.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable, folks. I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. The last 15 years at Bass Pro Shop was a great opportunity. Johnny Morris has treated me like a gold, and it's been a great ride, and Bass Pro Shops has given me the opportunity to go out and do it on my own, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to make a living crappie fishing, it's like Roberto Clemente used to say, baseball's been good to me. Crappie fishing has been good to me.
Right on, Wally. And now one more question before I let you off the hook here. No pun intended. Given the pattern that these fish are in right now, what is your number one go-to bait going to be over the next week or 10 days?
I'm saying if you're fishing bridge piling and boat docks, it's the Slab Daddy Sexy Shiner, which is a blue and chartreuse bait. And if you're using Crappie Thunders, the blue and white or the lime and chartreuse would be two of my top colors. And I'm using I've always vertical fish with the Pro Series Roadrunner chartreuse head with a gold Willow Leaf blade, 1/8 ounce.
All right.
So that's the two baits and the two different techniques. It's your vertical fishing structure, crappie tunders, boat docks and bridges, slab daddies.
Well, there y'all go. Straight from Mr. Crappie. He told you everything you need to know, so it's up to you to get out there and catch them. And Wally, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed visiting with you this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, man, it's been a pleasure, too, and I look forward to seeing everybody out there coming in April. We've got a grand open at Cabela's right down the road.
April 14th.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see you out there.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
There he goes, and what a nice guy, too. Big round of applause for Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall. We do need to knock out a quick break here. Up next, let's get into a little feral hog talk. Better yet, let's talk about legally killing them with poison. And I promise you, it's a very real possibility coming up sometime in the near future. All that coming up next. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
There's a Texas-sized buzz rippling through the fishing industry as Brass and Blades lures have taken center stage. State-of-the-art engineering offers a unique double hook, custom blade, exclusive anti-roll bend design, and even a semi-flex hook joint that bends with the movement of the fish. Brass and Blades boasts the premier lead-free buzz and chatter baits on the market. Check out Brass and Blades lures at www.brassandblades.com. Made for real fishermen by real fishermen. It's the bait with twice the bite. Visit brassandblades.com and see for yourself today.
Come on out March 25th through the 27th to Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. It's the North Texas chapter of Safari Club International's Outdoor Expo. Guides and outfitters from around the world will have booths set up, and admission is free. Bid on the hunt of a lifetime at Saturday evening's banquet featuring live and silent auctions, gun raffles, and so much more. It's the SCI North Texas chapter Outdoor Expo March 25th through the 27th at Bass Pro Shops in Grapevine. Admission to the expo is free, and you can get your tickets to Saturday night's banquet at SCINorthTexas.com. SCI, first for hunters.
It's a big old world, but I found my way from the hell and the hurt. Led me straight to this. Here's to the trains I missed.
That's Walt Wilkins bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Thanks for letting me ride shotgun with you this morning. Well, we've already gone in depth into spring turkey season, which opens next weekend here in the North Zone. Already going on in the South Zone. Of course, we just covered the current crappie spawn in great detail with our buddy Wally Marshall. So now let's shift our attention back to an old familiar foe. Yep, you guessed it, feral hogs. And joining us to discuss the possibility of legally poisoning feral hogs is Texas Wildlife Service's Mike Bodenchuk. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, certainly my pleasure. Now, I wanted to have you on the show this morning to visit with you about an article that was featured in the latest edition of Texas Fish and Game magazine. The article focuses on using poison to help control our state's feral hog population. So how long have y'all been working on this project over at Texas Wildlife Services?
Well, we've been in the feral hog business as a growing concern since 1982. Obviously, there haven't been toxicants available for most of that time. Feral hogs are a worldwide problem, and a number of researchers all around the globe have been working on different ways to manage them. This particular chemical has been patented by some Australian researchers and brought to our attention in the last 2 years or so. And so we've been considering whether or not to use a toxicant on feral hogs for just about 2 years.
Right on. And the poison is actually called Hoggon, correct?
Well, that's the trade name for it. The technical chemical is a sodium nitrite. Again, there's a patent on it from the Australians. Their term is Hoggon. It may or may not be sold under that name when it gets to the United States, but we're just in the testing phases now.
Okay. And Mike, what's the most recent estimate you've heard on how many feral hogs live in Texas?
Well, we conservatively estimate about 2 million feral hogs in Texas. We've been estimating that for several years, and I think we're probably way under guessing
right.
them. But that's about the number that we throw out officially, and it's probably on the very low side. It could be as many as 4 million.
Right. I was about to say you could probably double that and still be short.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and these hogs caused over $400 million in damages in 2010. So it's plain to see that other options such as, hunting and trapping basically are ineffective ways of really making a dent in hog populations because they always come back.
It's a very interesting deal, and trust me, I'm a hunter as well, and hunt feral hogs in foreign countries as well as here around in the United States. Hunting, recreational hunting, has never controlled a hog population anywhere in the world. I was in a conference in Europe this past fall, and German hunters, as small as Germany is, German hunters killed over 600,000 wild boar and still did not cap their population. So we really can't rely on that to reduce their numbers. We can rely on it as a form of recreation, and we can rely on it as a way to control localized populations, but on a statewide basis, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Now, the sodium nitrite poison that you mentioned is actually a food additive in a lot of human food.
That's correct. Sodium nitrite in human food is a preservative, and ironically, it's the preservative in a lot of bacon and sausage. And so there's a lot of the chemistry that's already known about this product because it's been through all of those safety reviews for humans.
Well, this brings up an obvious question that we're going to hear from the left. And let me tell you, I ain't no PETA apologist. Everybody that listens to this show and knows me understands that they can kiss my ass. They can kiss all of our asses. Sorry, Mom. I know you raised me better than that. But anyway, as ethical hunters and outdoorsmen, our responsibility is not to gut shoot an animal, take bad shots on animals. And it's the same thing with this poison. We don't want to see these hogs suffer, even though they are dirty old feral hogs. They still don't deserve a cruel death. So how long does it take for this poison to take effect?
Well, we start seeing the effects within about 30 minutes, and the average time to death is about an hour and a half. What sodium nitrite does is it blocks the ability for hemoglobin to carry carry oxygen, so the red blood cells won't carry oxygen. It does that progressively as the chemical is absorbed in the system. So what you see is an animal that appears to get sleepy. It goes and lays down and eventually dies from a lack of oxygen to the brain. It appears to be very humane. Hogs lack the ability to turn this chemical back to where their red blood cells can carry oxygen, so it looks to be irreversible in a hog. When you and I eat bacon, for example, we consume sodium nitrite, but then we turn our blood cells right back to hemoglobin so that they can carry the oxygen. So there's a wide margin of safety for a lot of other animals.
Now, I do love bacon, so.
Yeah, you do. And it's, again, we consume it on a regular basis, but we can turn that met hemoglobin, which is what sodium nitrite does to the blood cells, we can turn it back to hemoglobin and it keeps carrying oxygen.
All right, Mike. Well, the next question then obviously has to be, how is this going to affect animals that feed on that dead hog carcass, or is it?
No, the sodium nitrite is metabolized in order to produce methemoglobin, and methemoglobin itself is not toxic. The animal, if you were to look at it, it would have a black tongue because the blood cells that ordinarily have the tongue a pink color lack the oxygen that's in there. So the animal can be scavenged by other animals completely safely. What we don't want to do is actually feed the bait to other animals directly. It would kill, for example, raccoons, or it would kill deer. And so our challenge isn't to protect the animals from eating the hogs. That's actually kind of natural. Buzzards will eat them, and nothing will happen to the buzzards. But our challenge is to make sure that only hogs eat it and not other animals.
Right, and this article, once again, in Texas Fish and Game Magazine, talks about a special feeder that y'all are designing that will do just that.
Well, the chemical and the bait and the name are all patented over there in Australia, and they carry U.S. patents. What doesn't carry a patent is the feeder. So we're working with multiple feeder types. The type that they developed in Australia has two sliding doors, if you can envision a self-feeder for dogs with two sides to it so that hogs can approach from either side. That way they don't fight as much over the bait. They have to lift the feeder door with their snout, and which is a normal activity for hogs, but raccoons aren't able to do it. The handle on the door is low enough, and they can't pull up enough in order to get into the feed tray. So what we're testing right now, rather than testing the toxic properties, we're testing the ability of the feeder to exclude other wildlife. Mm-hmm. So far, we're 100%. When the feeder doors are down, other wildlife don't get in. We're working with different designs. The feeders that we started with first were made out of aluminum, and quite frankly, we've had a couple of pigs that tear the feeders apart in their aggressiveness to get inside. And of course, if they tore a feeder apart while it had bait inside, there would be some exposure to other wildlife. So we're probably going to see this feeder type evolve over the next several tests. We're going to go to a little heavier gauge steel rather than aluminum, so it won't bend quite as easily. And that's the point of the experiments that we're doing right now, making sure that we could get the bait in hogs and nothing else, and then we'll be pretty happy about the ability to get it registered.
Okay, and then so what other steps do you have to take to get this legalized once you're satisfied with its ability to keep out other wildlife?
Our challenge would be, again, making sure that our particular non-target animals like raccoons and javelina don't have access to the bait, and then it's submitted to EPA. The EPA registers all pesticides in the U.S., and they would have up to 3 years to review the data. Mm-hmm. They also have an agreement with the Australian EPA to kind of consider their science, and Australia will consider ours. And so as this, we're a few months behind the Australians in terms of registration, and we think that we'll be able to kind of fast-track this. It may be a couple years instead of 3 years to review the data. But once it's registered, then we'll be legal to apply it out there in the field. We see landowners being able to use this, not just government agencies, and so there'll have to be some training in pesticide use, appropriate pesticide use for landowners. There'll be licensing of the product. And we don't see bringing this in from Australia. It'd probably be cost more to ship some from Australia than it would be to make it here. So there's a group that's already looking at establishing a bait manufacturing plant in Texas to serve the U.S. market.
That's what I like to hear. Feral hogs putting jobs back into the Texas economy. But we're still a couple years out on this deal, right?
I would say two and perhaps three. But yeah, we're at least 2 years out.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and it sounds like you guys are taking the bull by the horns, or actually the boar by the balls in this situation, and it sounds like you're headed in the right direction.
Well, we're exploring other options on top of that, too. Some scientists are looking at chemosterilants. Those are not as promising as this chemical, for example, because if you sterilize a pig, there's chemicals that are circulating out there that you may not want to get into other wildlife or into people if somebody were to shoot a hog that's been chemically sterilized. So there's a lot of folks working on the problem. This is one of our brighter future or brighter aspects for the near future.
Very well, my friend. I really enjoyed your time this morning, Mike.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to visiting with you some more on other topics.
No doubt about it, and I had the website written down, but I think I lost that sticky, so if you would, go ahead and tell us where we can find all this great information.
A lot of our research is being posted on the Feral Hogs website. It's www.feralhogs@tamu.edu.
Perfect. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to our next chat.
Thank you, Kate.
Whoa, look at the time. We got to get out of here. Thanks to our guests this morning, Jason Harden of Texas Parks and Wildlife, Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, and of course, Mike Bodenchuk, whom we just heard from. Next week, I've already got a Texas waterfowl call maker lined up for us, and I promise I'll get Charles Smith of Cadence Duck Calls to wail away on one of his calls on the air, so that should be exciting. Also, one of my favorite artists and fellow outdoorsmen, Dustin Perkins, will join us live in studio, and I am pumped up about that as well. Also, just a quick reminder to come see me at Dodge City McKinney today from 10 until noon. I'm headed over there right now
We're giving away Game Guard koozies, a couple hats, and also a guided fishing trip with Lake Fork guide Heath Hardwick. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Down is a road, it seems like it goes on forever. A mile marker 201, you get further and further.